Welcome to The Exhibitionists, a podcast on the weird and wonderful world of international trade shows, with your hosts, Stephanie Selesnik, and me, Anthony Reeve-Crook.
On this edition of The Exhibitionists, we are going to be discussing media and the press. In fact, we're going to be talking about how do you attract the press, what do you do with the press, especially if you're looking to bring in international media to your exhibitions.
I think the first show I ever covered was IMEX, I think, way back in the day.
Wow.
But I've also sent journalists to events. So I've been as editor of Exhibition World, we've also partnered up and done media partnerships. So I've seen it from a sort of more corporate connection, and I've also been running around events all over the world to see, and sometimes they facilitate it well, sometimes they don't, so we're going to be going through some of those issues.
With that, at the recent CES here in Las Vegas, the largest trade show in the United States, in fact, they had not one but two press rooms in the convention center alone, in the Las Vegas Convention Center. I had a chance to speak with a dear friend, full disclosure on this one. Rocio and I have known each other for decades, and she is the voice of CES in Spanish. She lives in Mexico City, and here's an interview I did with her about attracting the press to a show that people don't know about.
It's great to see you again, Stephanie, after so many years. Congratulations for this new project that you are working in.
Thank you.
I am sure that it's going to be a success, like everything where you are.
Oh, that's so... Okay, we've really known each other a long time.
I have been involved in international... in the first in Mexico.
Right, that's where we met. We met
because I used to do work for trade shows organized in Mexico. My first one was for the Ministry of Tourism, the Mexican Ministry of Tourism. Their main trade show is the Tianguis Turístico, and there I was in the area where we took care of the international media that arrives to make business with the Mexican tourism industry. And that's how I started to learn about PR. Yeah. With international media. And then I worked in several other trade shows, one of them, AFIA Agro de las Americas, where we worked together. AFIA is the American Feed Industry Association. I had no idea about agro industry.
<I know. laughs>
And I said, oh my God, how am I going to do this? But, you know, it's really the same for any industry.
It is.
You just have to put together the names and the groups of journalists who specialize in each area, agro-industry, technology, tourism,
right.
Whichever industry you want to attract to a trade show,
right.
And you put them together.
And you'd be successful, and you know, you have to work at it. You definitely have to work at it. So for those of you that don't know, CES was not the household name that it is now. So 19 years ago when you started with CES, and you were recruiting Latin American media to come up to Las Vegas, it was a challenge, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a challenge. I called because there were no emails at the time.
No.
In the year 2000. They were starting. So I called them and I said, hello, this is Rocío and I would like to invite you to this trade show in Las Vegas about technology, which is called, I want to invite you, sorry, to CES. And they would ask,
what's CES?
And so I would say, it's the Consumer Electronics Show, which they used that name at the time. And they didn't even understand then, so I had to explain. And at that time, there was another trade show which was more popular. And so
was that Comdex?
That was Comdex.
Comdex, which, by the way, no longer exists.
Exactly. It does not exist anymore. So I used to tell them, it's like Comdex, but better.
Gary's going to love that one. Oh, my God.
And so ever since 2001, I remember that year, the first keynote in my life, here in Las Vegas was a keynote of Bill Gates.
Wow.
And it was where he introduced the Xbox.
Oh my God.
And I said, what's an Xbox? it was for CES is the trade show where all the technology has been introduced since 1969.
It's been a long time.
52 years.
Let me ask you a couple of questions about recruiting, when you're recruiting the press. So you call them up and you talk to them. Do the international media expect to be flown over and put up in hotels and given per diems, or do they come on their own, or do you do a partial?
Well, with CES, what we do is I recommend a group of journalists from 6 countries now. I started only with Mexico. Now I am in charge of Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Mexico, and Panama. So I put out a group of recommendations, and CTA approves it based on the number of
stories they've done and what kind of publicity they're giving you.
Yes.
Because a lot of people, what they don't realize is that what's more important to an exhibition is the pre-show press, because you're trying to bring in visitors mm-hmm. and exhibitors from those countries.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing for me now before the show? After show is also really important.
Yes.
But really, it's the pre-show that is the most important, because that helps with your push for especially international attendees.
Mm-hmm. So that's when we begin to... I receive the press releases that are being published before the show. I receive them in English. We translate them and distribute them to the media in English. In Spanish and in Portuguese in Brazil.
Portuguese, yeah.
And we start to send out the word of the show and the information of what trends and what products are going to be introduced in the following show. And we invite, mostly we, CTA pays, they have a group which is called the Scholarship Group, which is an international group, not only for the 6 countries I told you about, Latin America. It's for, I don't know exactly how many countries, but probably 60, something like that.
Wow.
In all the world. Yesterday we had a press briefing with Gary. And
that's
the
Gary
scholarship,
Shapiro,
Gary Shapiro, and Karen Chopka. And they were talking to the scholarship media that came here, invited by CTA, giving them information about the show, thanking them for their participation and all their hard work for getting out the word of CES in all the world.
You know, I'm going to stop you right there for 1 second. It's something else that I think is very important that a lot of people don't realize. Say thank you. Thank you for making the trip over. Thank you for coming and covering the show. Thank
mm-hmm.
you for helping us make the show a success.
Mm-hmm.
These are important things that are so simple to do.
Yes.
You know, doing a press conference, having a lunch, having mm-hmm. a press breakfast, feeding people. But say thank you. Actually have your top people
yes.
come out and say thank you. For doing this, we appreciate mm-hmm. your partnership.
Yes, we appreciate your traveling so far from Brazil. It takes a long time.
It's far.
Mm-hmm.
From it's the other side of the planet.
From the Czech Republic, from China, from Turkey, from Norway. Mexico is only 4 hours away, but most of the countries are far from Vegas.
Yes. Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
And CTA pays. Most of the expenses
to a
selected group of journalists.
But they pre-screen.
Yes.
So it's important. What would you say for someone who's starting out and they have a show that's not known, say, in Latin America, besides Jair Rocio? I have to throw that out. Besides that, what would you say would be like the couple top things in terms of how do you, you know, maybe you don't have the budget to fly people in. What else could they do? Maybe get hotel rooms? Give them per diems for food. You know,
yes.
if you get yourself here, then we'll provide these other things for covering the show. I mean, is it just in the ask and how you do it?
Contact the officials, the government, so that they may help you with their funds sometimes.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know
yes.
that. So
some of the governments have, because if you are organizing a trade show in
right.
Mexico, you are going to be promoting Mexico, for example, eventually, not only your trade show in Mexico.
Right, but and also, if you're doing a trade show here in the United States, you may still get funding from other governments because it's still coverage. Oh, look where we are. We're all over the world. We're supporting it. And also, I would think that the press are interested in how many exhibitors you have from the countries that they're from.
Oh, yes.
Is that a big question all the time?
All the time they ask. They ask me this time, are there any exhibitors from Colombia, from Argentina, from Mexico? We have three stands from Mexico this year. One of them is very big, and this is an advertisement for my paisanos,
paisanos, your countrymen.
My countrymen.
Countrymen and women, if we're going to be politically correct.
Countrymen and women, exactly.
We'll go with the Spanish, which is masculine if it's a lot of people. Yeah.
My paisanos, they have a big stand, and it's beautiful. It is here in the South Hall, and it includes about 30 different companies.
So they have a pavilion.
They have a pavilion.
Is it a state pavilion or is it a specific industry pavilion?
It's a Mexico pavilion. It is called MXNCES. MXNCES. At CES.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's a purple stand.
We're going to go down and check it out.
Yes, go check it out.
I'll be posting pictures of it on my website, internationaltradeinformation.com, which you can go to and check out. We'll be posting those on there, and I think also probably on Anthony's website as well, at archimedia.com. Any final thoughts, Rocio, on your 19th CES? Boy, is the show grown, huh?
Yes. Well, I'm happy to be in my 19th CES. I hope I still come here many times. I am thankful to them. I don't know if they will listen to me, but I'm thankful to the media from Latin America who came here with us and who have spread the word of CES, and to your audience too, who are listening, and I'm thankful that you recommended me to CEMA many years ago.
Yeah, that was CES's old name, or CTA's.
CTA's old
Consumer
name.
Consumer Technology Association, a long time ago. But I really want to thank you, and next up is a little interview with Anthony on what he thinks people should be doing and trade show folks, organizers as well as exhibitors should be doing to get trade media. Thanks again, Rocio.
Gracias.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Our thanks again to Rocio Sandoval for that wonderful interview and those tips. And now here's the big moment. Anthony, are you ready to be the interviewee?
Yes, I am.
Oh, this is so exciting. All right.
Nice not to be asking the questions for once.
Ah, this is so much fun. I can't wait. All right. So I'm going to pick up something that Rocio and I discussed, and that's about getting the word out early. As somebody who's sent reporters, as you said earlier, and you've been the editor and you've been the person on the junket, what are your thoughts about it?
The earlier you get them in, the more you can define the coverage. Everybody wants to control the coverage that comes from their event, don't they? So if you can get somebody to commit to, I don't know, a certain number of pages, or if you can work out what their expectations are going to be from the show, because, I don't know, an event, let's take the Geneva Motor Show.
Okay.
There's going to be people covering it from eco car perspective, from a new launch perspective. Even people like me who are just talking about the nuts and bolts of the show or the destination. Some people come in on the back of, hosted buyer visits, and they're looking at the show as a case study, for example. As soon as you know what they want, you can go to them early and say, here's what we want you over here for. Here's kind of what we'd like to get from your coverage. And then you can sit down and flesh it out.
I'm going to interrupt you on that for a second. Let's go back to that for a minute. So, when you talk to the press, right, it's about finding out what do they need, because it can't be one-sided, right? It can't be one-sided. So, for example, setting up those interviews as a hard-to-get-to person that they can never get through on a normal basis, but I think it's a really good give, right?
Finding out what the
expectations are is so good.
It's invaluable, and it's a very small amount of work for an organizer or someone on the organizer's team. Because they have the first name terms and the mobile numbers for these people. It's a lot of work for a journalist flying in from a different country who has no point of connection. So that's a really good way to go about it, I think. And I think if you get them in early enough, I mean, people make a lot of announcements at these shows as well. So it's
one of the biggest things, even though people say, oh, it's a 24-hour news cycle, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? Press conferences and announcements and new product announcements still happen at every single trade show.
It's worth keeping a little back. I think it's a really good thing. A really good practice is to make sure the journalists are in the right place when the news is breaking. And perhaps with some of your key exhibitors, ask them to just, where possible, keep the powder dry just a little bit longer for some of the key announcements. Make it worthwhile as a journalist turning up, you know?
All right, absolutely. So I'm gonna go on to another couple of ideas here, right? So yeah, some shows are big enough where they can do a press day ahead of time. Most shows are not. Let's be realistic here. And I think a lot of our audience, we do have some who produce really large shows, but for the most part, they're not big enough to do that whole press day before. What are other things that people can do to attract the press, especially the trade press from other countries? What is it that other shows have done in your experience, in your vast experience, Anthony, that would actually, you know, want you to send your reporters to other shows to cover them?
Well, I mean, we've talked about the idea of not, you know, keeping the powder dry on a few stories. Make sure some of your exhibitors will make the announcements at your show, because that's when the Twitter sphere, the blogosphere is going mad, and that's when everyone's searching the terms that to do with your show. So keep a lot of news available at the event. I think that's a really big one. But I mean, one of the best things to do is promise people content. Like we talked about earlier, you know, you have better access to the people who will be making the announcements than the teams flying out to cover the event. Give them the space to speak to these people. Give them a quiet room to do a podcast. Remember, media's changed. It's not just tapping away on keyboards. You know, give them a room to do podcasts. Give them a well-lit room to do video interviews. Everybody's got a mobile. Everybody can record. We do it ourselves. So make it easy and simple for them to get high-quality content. Not everybody wants to be running about
like a crazy person, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be crazy enough. Be careful with scheduling. Put coffee in the press room. Lots of coffee.
Yeah.
Keep sugar up.
Keep the sugar up. Yeah. Make sure there's lots of cookies as well. Biscuits, as you say. Interestingly enough, and on my website, besides the pictures of the stand from Mexico from my interview with Rocio, I took some pictures of the press room at CES, which is ridiculously huge. They provided computers for some people and then plug-in areas for others to not. And they had a broadcast area that was elevated over the show floor because it's so huge, where they had actual areas assigned for the networks. Now, that may not work for your show, but if you do have local media coming in, because your show is so large and it's such a big deal in the city, make sure you set stuff up ahead of time. Right, Anthony?
One of the most complicated things, whether you're covering content from a conference or a trade show, the people who stick their hands up in the air and ask the questions during the plenary session, the journalists who say, ask the question to the speaker, that is going to be heard by every other journalist in the room. And I've never fully understood. I'm not the person who does that. I'll always wait until the speaker leaves and, you know, or the presenter leaves and then ask them the question when it's just me and them, because then you get the exclusive. And that E word is the big one. It's the exclusive. You're flying out to an event. You want to get better coverage than the person sitting next to you sending their stories home. So where you can, be creative. Like, set up a deal with a publisher. Say, you will get an exclusive interview with this person who we know is going to be making an announcement. You get that. You book it ahead of time. They will set aside a page in the magazine. That page reflects well on the reporters going out and covering it and the title. It also reflects very well on the organizer.
All right, Anthony, I've got one last question for you. If you had one piece of advice to give to show organizers about attracting the press and bringing them into your show, what would it be?
It would be to be aware that journalists are going to be sensitive about who has the ownership of the material you're producing. So in simple terms, if I've got a mate, he's a food critic in the city. If a restaurant invites him in and gives him a free meal for him and plus one, there's a kind of an expectation that it's going to give them some good airtime. like if he writes a scathing review, then you get the phone call that comes afterwards. Same with me. When I go and I review a destination's ability to host events of a certain size, they put on an elaborate show for you. You know, you get a lot of good treatment, you get taken out, wined and dined, that sort of thing. There's a sort of an expectation you're going to write a good review about that place. You couldn't do a flamer. And if you were to pay for the whole thing, do you know
flamer,
what I mean?
Yeah, we call them flamers. Oh my God, I love that. Oh, well, that's my new favorite word of the day. Yeah, a flamer.
I've done some in the past, and it closes doors because unfortunately this is where advertising tends to come from, and there is the rub for that sort of thing. But anyway, on the trade show front.
That's a topic for another day.
It is, very much so. All I would say is when you don't have an expectation on the press, but set out what it is that could be of value to them. So don't expect when a reporter comes in that they're going to give you reams and reams of pages. Don't demand 3-4 pages. Just say to them, here's the sort of stuff you're going to get. Work with them in advance to help them facilitate it. Don't make demands of them, but make it so that they're going to be interested in giving you the coverage that you need and the airtime that you need on the topics being discussed.
All right. So that wraps up another Exhibitionist podcast. We want to thank you for listening. If you liked us, please leave a review. Tell your friends. We're still new. We're still getting out there. You can reach me through my website, www.internationaltradeinformation.com, and Anthony at
arc-imedia.com.
All right. Thanks, and we'll see you again soon.
Bye.